Adnan Virk joins us. Hello, Adnan.
Hello, Boomer. This is perfect timing, because all I heard was literally the next person we're going to take care of, and then ding, meaning that I've now been buzzed in the call, and then you mentioned the bouquet issue. So this is up for grabs then, right? I can be a part of this?
You can.
Can you spell bouquet?
If you can spell bouquet.
I was
B-O-O-K. He's a rapper, hip-hop star.
Yeah.
I know you're a big fan.
Bouquet.
Bouquet, that's right.
Okay, I got it. Great. Spin along the daisies. Appreciate it.
Now, we're in Boston right now. How close are we to you?
Are you serious? You guys are an hour 40 from me, like on the road. This is unbelievable. Just if you hop on the 84, go 84 west, you'll get to Connecticut, you come to my house.
We're very hungover. That won't happen. but it is
so
neat to be.
Flames Bruins?
Yeah, the Flames are playing the Bruins. Every year they pick one trip and take out some clients from the broadcast. And
I'm sure why we have to come.
You know, we need to come. And, yeah, because I figured. I wasn't sure.
I wish I had known. Listen, let me know next time. If it's Boston or New York, I mean, it's an hour and a half, 2 hours. We can at least grab a meal.
That'd be great. I mean, I'm not sure if I'll ever be back to Boston again, but but you know what? You know what we did? We did yesterday. We went, and it's kind of cheesy for sports media because it's just like an office. But we went and took a inside tour of Fenway Park yesterday, and there's some places like you can go to Yankee Stadium in New York, and I mean I'm a Yankee fan. It's just a big gray stadium. There's no real appeal to it. But this thing,
different, but you're right. The new one feels like an ATM. Yeah.
There's just no there's no feel to it whatsoever. But you just to stand there and all the artwork and all the moments that have happened inside those walls and inside that ballpark, and you look as it's like, well, that's the foul, that's the Carlton Fisk, that's the Pesky Pull, that happened here, that when that home run, when Ortiz hit that ball, it landed right here. Like all of those things, they just come rushing into your mind.
No, it's amazing, man. My biggest thought when I stood at home plate was literally just how close the Green Monster is. Like, you know, you grow up watching it, and you just always see how big it is and just how unusual it is. But I didn't realize how close it was. And I was like, oh, now I get it. Like, if I'm a right-handed hitter every single time, I'm over-swinging. So I'm like, yeah, there's no question I can hit over that stupid Green Monster. Like, it would be – and I felt as a left-handed pitcher, I'm like, my gosh. I would hate to have to face a right-handed power hitter pitching at Fenway because that thing's so close.
Have you ever been able to take batting practice on the field?
No. If I took BP, that would be probably an exercise of futility, although I'd love to give it a shot. I did actually sit atop the Green Monster, though, like for a few innings, and that was awesome. Because someone said to me, I go, well, what's the best seat at Fenway? And I go, are you kidding? Atop the Green Monster. And that's very gorgeous because the perspective is so good. It's great sight lines. Obviously, nothing's in front of you. And I went inside the Green Monster. I said, this is where Manny Ramirez went to go take a leak that one time.
That's
like,
right.
And I went in. I was like, all right, I'll do the same. Great. It's incredibly narrow. Like, first of all, like, when I walked in, I'm like, okay, it's just like literally single file. Like, there's not a multitude of space to get a strobe light and start dancing. Like, it's one by one, and it's just enough room as if you were going to just change the scoreboard. It's just a bunch of concrete, but. Like, I have a video being inside the Green Monster. That was incredibly cool.
One of the parts of the tours, we went up top on the Green Monster. And I think everybody, I said it earlier this morning, you probably have the bucket list. And I got to see a game at Fenway, and so you check that off. But having been up on the Monster and seeing that vantage point, you're right. Now I need to get back to it. Now I got to see another game, but I got to watch one from up there. There's no other seat in baseball or maybe sport that's quite like that one.
I think so, man. I used to think, Boomer, because people used to tell me the bleachers at Wrigley, and it's cool, but I'll be honest with you. I think, again, kind of like what you guys are dealing with now, I think that's just because it's a big booze fest. Like, I think it's just, Chicago. I was talking to somebody, go, best cities in America, and he goes, oh, Chicago for 8 weeks. And I said, well, you can't just take, like, we're not talking about portions. He's like, no, but Chicago in the summer is so good because it's so bloody cold that everyone just wants to get after the summer. So, like, you know, everyone's just in a fabulous mood, just getting sauced and going nuts. And part of that is going to a Cubs game and just, you know, daytime festivities. So Wrigley Bleachers is really cool because you're soaking up the atmosphere, and it's great. But honestly, having done both, and I think that's probably the number two, if somebody said bleachers at Wrigley, it's not even close. Like, atop the Green Monster is a decisive number one.
Where does it rank ballpark-wise for you, Adnan? Because I don't even know how you'd go about comparing – something that was built in the early 1900s to some of these new parks and the ones with the roofs that can move and no matter the weather you're playing.
Well, it's a great point, Pinder. Whenever I ask Tim Kirch, you know, of course, has covered baseball for, you know, 35 years, and he's been a fan for all 60-plus years of his life. And he says to me, he goes, I always put Wrigley and Fenway in a separate category. And I said, well, you can't do that. He goes, well, no, you can. He goes, because they've been around since, like, the turn of the century. So I'm like, well, nothing can compare to that. And it's funny, working with David Ross, it was like, oh, Wrigley's so cool. And he goes, listen, man. And he's played for the Red Sox as well. So he goes, listen, Fenway and Wrigley are really cool, but I got to be honest with you. Until they improve the amenities for Chicago, guys didn't want to go there. Like, he goes, it was brutal, like, how bad it was. And he said, like, there's a certain charm to it, but I'm sure as you guys just saw at Fenway, when you actually sit in those chairs, I mean, my goodness, like, if I put on the 20 and 30, which we're fast approaching, I mean, those chairs are incredibly uncomfortable. I can't imagine. Like, this is for 19, 18 bodies, okay? Think about how shorter and skinnier people were back then. So, like, and the worst part, of course, at Fenway, some of the seats are looking the wrong way. Like, it's insane. Like, you get certain seats and literally look the wrong way. You get the foul pole in front of you. So as magical as the place can be, obviously it's not plush seating. It's not comfortable, et cetera. So Timmy put Fenway and Wrigley separate just because of the history. But even though, like I said, we know those amenities, it's still incredible. I personally, for me, there's nothing better than Camden Yards. I think it's unbelievable. I first went there in 93. Me and my cousins, we took a trip, and I'd always wanted to go. And it's terrible timing for the Jays, of course. They were the last ones with the big concrete artifacts, which now felt like dinosaurs. And then Camden Yards comes up in 92, and it was perfect. It's that perfect balance of retro with modernity. And I love Boog's Barbecue, and it's just a gorgeous ballpark. Camden Yards, for me, is my favorite. San Francisco is a close second. AT&T Park is awesome because I love water. But Cubby's Cove is amazing. The fans are so into it. San Francisco is a great baseball town. I always think, oh, they must have sold the 49ers. Now, obviously, the rise of the Warriors, but they really do go nuts for the Giants. When baseball is cooking, they love it. Garlic fries. And, of course, San Francisco weather is always tricky. As Mark Twain once said, the coldest winter I ever had was July in San Francisco. So that can make for just an odd experience sometimes watching a game there. But, yeah, Baltimore and San Fran for me are the best. And I hear Pittsburgh is also amazing, too, of course.
Yeah, we've been to Pittsburgh. It is terrific. It very intimate. The skyline is amazing. They've done a very good job of keeping that kind of classic feel in a new ballpark. I want to get your thoughts this morning on Sportsnet. Jerry Howarth announced that he is done as the play-by-play voice of the Toronto Blue Jays. I know that would hit home for you.
Absolutely. I mean, God, Tom Cheek and Jerry Howarth, in so many ways, the soundtrack of my youth, right? It's Fergie Oliver and Don Chevrolet and all the rest of it. Like, it's, I don't think it's overstating to say, like, it's voices like that, you know, motivated me towards my career, because that was, listen, you're watching the game and you pretty quickly figure out, I'm not going to be good enough to play it. Well, what's the next best thing? Well, I could call it and I can be a part of it. And I always thought Jerry Howard, consummate professional. Once I got to work in Toronto, I got to meet him, a wonderful guy, so classy, friendly. And even, like, listen, one of those things, I guess it's a very Canadian thing, but we get excited once Americans recognize it as well. Like, when I'd meet people and say, I'm from Toronto, it's one of the first things they would say, oh, Jerry Howard, yeah, Tom Cheek, those guys are awesome. And even one of my bosses here on ESPN Radio, he loves me. The other day he saw me, he goes, hey, make sure you get a Jerry Howarth mention. He just loved the There She Goes and that horn. And it's amazing how, you know, as broadcasters, you know, when you're doing a studio show, I don't know how memorable it is, but play-by-play, like I said, it's the soundtrack of your youth. No matter what, those voices always stick with you, no matter who they are. So, obviously, wish him the best. 36 years is an incredible run. And I'll finally remember Jerry Howarth. He's a beauty.
So how's the college basketball beat treating you?
So here's the good news. Today and yesterday and tomorrow, I'll be with my buddy Mike Golick. And so there, he's not interested in college hoops at all. And we've been talking a ton of Winter Olympics. I know Mike is a big Summer Olympics guy. His daughter's a swimmer. He loves gymnastics, which I'm not into. But I told him I love the Winter Olympics. He's like, great. So we've actually been talking a ton. Like, now, obviously, I've got to slant it towards the Americans, because nobody gives a damn when I'm talking about McMorris and the snowboard, how great, you know, Canada is at figure skating. Although I did sneak it in a little bit. I was like, hey, listen, I'm telling you, you have got to see Moyer and Virtue. And they're like, what? And I'm like, Tessa Virtue, Scott Moyer are doing ice dance. They do that as well as anybody. Like, all right, so cut his mic. So I have to talk about, like, Michaela Schifrin, who is the big Olympic skier, along with Lindsey Vonn, you know, and focus on stuff like that. Chloe Kim is a 17-year-old American on the snowboard. So, honestly, man, Winter Olympics coming at a good time. Because normally the sporting calendar, this is where you kind of go, all right, like, you know, hockey's midseason, NBA midseason, all right, let's just get this sucker right. Baseball's almost here. Like, there's, you know, you're kind of in the lurch. So I have found I'm watching an inordinate amount of Winter Olympics, and thankfully, since Golic is into it, I can make it as part of my job. We were discussing, and I tell this to the three of you, what Winter Olympic sport would you most like to do? We went two parts. One, which one could you do? And, of course, the only one we felt like was curling, and that's not besmirching curling, of course. We are a nation of curlers. I don't think I could do it well, but I'm just saying I could do it. But the one I would love to do, the sport that I'm fascinated by. Last night, literally, I'm falling asleep, and I got to watch him. I've never seen you more obsessed with the sport. It's ski jumping. I think it's fascinating. The Norwegians crush at ski jumping. And a buddy of mine goes, it's kind of monotonous. No, I go, are you kidding? They fly down, and then like a flying V, they soar through the air. I can't get enough of it. I think it's awesome.
I think I'd be a hell of a bobsledder. Because I feel like once that momentum gets going and I get hurtling down the run, you know, there'd be a lot of momentum in that. I'd fit right in the thing. It'd be getting me out of the bobsled that would be an issue, but wedge me in there.
You can help me, Boomer, because somebody asked me, they go, a four-man bobsled, what are two of the guys doing? One's a driver, one's a brakeman. What are the other two guys hitching a ride?
Pusher.
Yeah, just the legs at the top?
Yeah, they're screaming.
Watching Netflix in the
middle. You're not wrong, yeah. And you know what, Adnan, you can actually still do that in Calgary. I've actually done the bobsled. But they start with the four people in the sled, and then they'll have other people push you down. But it's still amazing. Great. It's terrifying.
Oh, I can imagine. It's an amazing rush. Because luge is also incredible, of course. By the way, they don't call them lugers. They call them sliders because it's called the sliding center. The one issue I have, though, I don't like the skeleton. And they go, why? I go, listen, bobsleigh and luge are iconic, classic sports. Skeleton's like, all right, how can we mix this sucker up? You want to go head first? I'm like, all right, great. Skeleton it is. I'm like, no, that's not the same.
Well, and Rhett's dad always had some sound advice for Rhett when he was a kid.
Never take a job where your head's below your hoop.
You never do it. Never take a job when your head's below your hoop, Adnan.
How many that eliminates? Skeletons one?
You could tell your kids that.
Yeah, you can carry that with you for the rest of your days. Sage advice.
Free.
Pinder, what's the winter sport you'd most want to do?
Oh, I don't know.
Biathlon.
The gun and the cross-country skiing, it seems like quite the balance. The incredible cardio and then be still while you shoot targets. Although if the apocalypse comes, that's going to keep you alive, that one there, right?
Yeah, you'd be a curler because there'd be drinking involved.
That's true, too. Yeah.
Right. Picture Rhett like as a downhill skier. Like, that's just pure. Actually, you know what? Picture Rhett with the moguls. Hard on the knees, but just go flying down.
I went skiing like 2 weeks ago. You should have saw me go flying down. Head over heels.
Here comes Warner.
I still got a bruise.
Not gold.
Yeah, just a blur of arms and
snow.
More arms.
Poles and ski.
Arms.
Arms and snow.
Yeah, have a great week. Well, I feel, even though we won't see you, we feel closer to you this week. Feel close to you.
I love it, boys. You're in New England, which I never thought would be my stomping grounds. But
there you go.
Enjoy the chatter. Go Flames. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks,
boys. There he is. Adnan Virk.